Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Magandang umaga mga kababayan, magandang umaga sa lahat ng ating mga tagapakinig sa SBS Filipino ngayong araw ng Lunes at 6 ng Abril taong 2026. Edinal Magtibay po ang iyong makakapiling hanggang alas 11 ngayong Monday, Easter Monday po dito sa Australia. Tuloy-tuloy pa rin ang bakasyon ng marami. So, 4 na araw nakapahinga ang ilan. Ang ilan naman ay nasulit ang kanilang mga panahon kasama ng mga pamilya at ang iba naman ay nakapagnilay-nilay nitong panahon din ng Easter. Pero alamin natin, kumustahin natin sa ating kasama at tagapaghatid na balita. Kamusta kaya ang kanyang naging long weekend? Magandang umaga, Sheila.
Magandang umaga, Edinel. At magandang umaga sa lahat ng ating mga kababayan na baka nandyan pa sa daan, Edinel.
Tama. O, pauwi pa lang. O, dahil mula Friday hanggang Sunday yung nasulit nila. So, ngayong Monday ang uwi. Bukas may pasok na.
Oo. Actually, noong Thursday, yung iba half day na lang.
Ay, oo. Para medyo mas mahaba-haba yung kanilang lang bakasyon o kaya yung kanilang mga pahinga kung saan man sila pupunta, lalo na ngayong nitong mga nagdaang araw.
Nakapahinga todo.
Oo. Pero syempre, sa mga nasa daan, sa mga nakikinig sa atin, lalo na mga bukas ang kanilang mga radyo, ingat-ingat po sa pagmamaneho sa inyong mga biyahe. Sa ilang mga estado, nakataas pa rin yung double demerits, lalo na ngayong long weekend. Dako. Pero hindi lang dahil sa demerits, sana lagi kayong maingat at lagi ninyong isipin ang kaligtasan ng bawat isa.
Oo. Especially, Edinel, pag nag-drive ka, tapos iniisip mo, ay magtatrabaho na ako bukas, tapos dapat magmamadali na ako po, wag po niyong gawin yan kasi habang iniisip niyo po na magmamadali para makauwi kayo galing sa holiday, baka po makalimutan nyo na nasa harap nyo na yung isang sasakyan, di ba? Parang nagmamadali ka, hindi ka na conscious sa anong ginagawa.
Kailangan hindi distracted. Yes. Kailangan naka-focus doon sa sa daan. Kaya kung kayo po yung mga nasa kalsada ngayon, samahan nyo kami ni Sheila hanggang alas 11. Sasamahan din namin kayo sa inyong mga biyahe. Marami tayong hatid sa inyo ng mga impormasyon ngayong Monday. Sabi ko kanina, Sheila, Easter Monday ngayon dito sa Australia. No? Extended ang Easter. Madami sigurong nagtatanong, bakit may Easter Monday?
Oo, kasi sa Pilipinas, hindi naman masyadong hanggang lang tayo, Pasko ng pagkabuhay, yung Easter talaga, di ba?
Oo, talagang yung Sunday lang, tapos balik na ulit
sa trabaho
ng Lunes. Pero dun sa mga nabasa natin, mga nakalap natin ng mga impormasyon, ang Australia ay matagal nang nagsiselebrate ng kanilang Easter Monday. At tuwing Semana Santa, syempre, may Good Friday at hanggang Easter Sunday, 4 na magkakasunod nga na araw yung nagiging public holiday para sa maraming mga estado dito. Sinasabi ko maraming estado kasi hindi pala lahat. Dito ko lang din alaman, ay public holiday yung 4 na araw na yon. So may mga estado na hindi ka double pay or hindi holiday yung pag ipinasok mo yung mga araw na yon. So mamaya isa-isayin natin. Pero eto, sinasabi nila na syempre ang Easter celebrations nga nag-uugat dun sa tradisyong Kristiyano, kaugnay ng muling pagkabuhay ni Jesus. At kahapon, ito yung isang malaking celebration. Pero ngayon, pagkatapos niyan, ay tuloy-tuloy pa rin ang celebration. At sa tradisyong Kristiyano, tinatawag nila itong Easter Octave o yung parang 8 days. Ng Easter. So kasama ang Easter Monday at bahagi yan sa western area, sa mga western countries, kabilang ang UK and Australia, sa may mga Easter Monday.
Ang saya, no?
Oo, medyo mahaba-haba. Yung iba, naka-leave. Kung sa Pilipinas, naka-leave na yung Easter Monday mo kung Sunday nag-celebrate ka. Kung malayo yung probinsya na pinanggalingan.
Oo, especially pag nandun ka sa malayo. Kasi uuwi ka, di ba?
So dito, kasama pa rin siya sa public holiday. Pero sabi nga natin, hindi pare-pareho na holiday pala yung 4 na yun.
Baka yung kaibigan mo nandun sa Tasmania, Eds.
Nako, yan na nga. Dahil balita natin, sa Tasmania, yun yung pinakamaikli ang public holidays. Dalawa lang dun sa 4 na yun yung holidays nila. So, nung Biyernes, pero hindi pala nila kinoconsider yung Sabado at saka yung Linggo na na Easter, na public holiday. And so itong Lunes at bukas meron silang Easter Tuesday pa na dire-diretso ng celebration. Pero sa lahat naman, sa iba pang mga estado ay may kumpletong 4 days sila ng public holiday. Yan yung New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, ACT. Pero nabalitaan natin even ang Western Australia, tatlo lang, wala pala silang Saturday na public holiday.
Oo.
So kung pumasok ka nung Sabado,
wala
hindi
lang.
Kasama sa ano mo
doon. Hindi ka double pay.
Oo, kung nagbibilang ka, kung nandun ka sa estado na yon. Mm. Pero yung ibang mga estado, teritoryo naman, apat na araw yung kinoconsider nila
Oo.
As public holiday Oo. Pa rin. So, marami din ako, nagulat din ako doon sa ano na yun. Pagkakaiba-iba pala.
Iba't ibang rules, no, sa pagse-celebrate nitong Easter at saka yung mga holidays.
Oo, kasi importante sa atin yan, lalo na sa mga doble kayod ngayon dahil
exactly.
doble din ang taas ng mga gastusin. So, yung iba talagang binibilang nila bawat oras, bawat sentimo ng mga pinaghihirapan sa dami ng mga kailangang bayarin o mga mapag-ipunan.
Yes, lalo na ngayon, may banta na naman ng muling, no? Magiging mataas naman muli yung mga presyo ng gasolina, krudo, at saka yung, of course, magiging ang dulot nito yung mga groceries natin.
Oo. And kanina nabanggit mo dun sa news report, ano, na even ang Pilipinas talagang pataas ng pataas din ang presyo ng gasolina. Alam ko nararamdaman to sa buong mundo. Pero tayo kahit nandito sa Australia, apektado tayo ng malaki, lalo na kung nagpapadala ka
exactly.
sa pamilya sa Pilipinas. So ibig sabihin, kailangan mo ring
dagdagan.
Yung ipapadala mo ng mga allowance sa kanila o yung mga pangangailangan nila sa araw-araw. Plus, yun ding gastos mo dito na tumataas din. So, doble din yung kailangan mong maidagdag dun sa sarili mong budget. Kaya kailangan, yung
baka
iba, extra kayod. Oo.
Baka mag-side hustle yung iba na magdadrive na lang ng, maliban dun sa regular mo na trabaho, may magdadrive ka ng taxi, yung rideshare, or mga ano pa yung mga ginagawa, or yung nagdi-deliver ng pagkain.
Yes, o kaya yung iba, nagluluto, tapos yun yung mga ibinibenta-benta nila, para may mga pang-extra kahit paano may pumapasok pa rin na additional income sa pamilya, dahil kailangan talaga maging mas madiskarte sa buhay ngayong panahon na to. Kaya naman, sa ating mga tagapakinig, ano pa nga ba ang mga diskarte yung pwede ninyong ibahagi sa amin, at lalo na't ngayon na doble ang mga bayarin o medyo mas tumataas na po ang cost of living na nararamdaman natin. At kung ano pa rin ang inyong mga maiibigay na payo, lalong-lalo na sa may mga binabudget at nagpapadala pa sa Pilipinas, hindi ba?
Kasi kung nagpapadala ka sa Pilipinas, parang iisipin mo kung dati nasa 80 pesos lang or let's say 70. Nakakaano nga, Eds, nasusurprise ako at parang ang sakit naman kasi kung sa Luzon kasi makikita mo 90 pesos. Per pesos per litro yung gasolina nila.
Wow.
Alam mo ba sa amin sa Mindanao, last week na nakausap yung nanay ko, it's 118
wow.
pesos per litro. So ibig sabihin, 'di ba ang laki nung gap na kailangan punuin.
Mm-hmm.
So sabi ko nga dun sa nanay ko, "Ma, kung may pupuntahan kayo, dapat hindi isang lugar. Halimbawa, mag-grocery. Dapat, o yung may isang transaction ko, 5 transaction sa isang lakad, di ba?
Para sulit na, no? Yung gasolina, isang andar mo, na nagawa mo na lahat. Ganun din.
Totoo.
Oo, yun din yung mga sinasabi namin doon sa pamilya natin sa Pilipinas. At kahit dito, ganun na din yung nagiging diskarte. Kung dati kahit pamalapit lang yung mga tinda-tindahan, madaling puntahan, madaling i-drive. Ngayon,
maglakad.
Hindi ka na makakaisip na mag-drive. Kung kayang lakarin. Kung kayang magbisikleta, magbibisikleta. O kaya
True.
Kung ano yung iba pang mas makakatipid, public transport ang ginagamit sa halip na pagmamaneho.
Mm-mm. Kaya sa ating mga kababayan dyan, i-share nyo po sa amin kung ano yung mga tips nyo para medyo mabawasan yung gastos.
Damay-damay tayo sa mga tipid tips natin dyan. At syempre dito sa ating programa, marami pa rin tayong mga ihahatid sa inyo na iba't ibang mga ulat at iba't ibang mga panayam. Lalo na ngayong Filipino Food Month, Sheila, April, buong buwan ng Abril, mga nakakatakam na usapan ang ihahatid natin. Mamaya may panayam si Nikki Gregorio kasama ang isang Pinay Italian cafe owner sa Melbourne, at isishare niya yung kanyang mga niluluto kasama nung mga Italian food na nahaluan ng Pinoy flavors or mga pagkaing Pinoy. At syempre, marami ding mga kaganapan sa loob at labas ng Australia na ibabahagi natin sa kanila. Katulad na lamang nitong mga bagong batas na ipinatutupad dito sa bansa, sa Australia. At mamaya, no, ibibigay mo yung detalye tungkol sa gambling naman, mga ads sa gambling dito sa Australia.
Oo, kasi Eds, ito, malaki kasi yung topic na ito, issue na to para sa mga, kahit sa ating mga kababayan, di ba? Dahil pag halimbawa, nagretiro ka na, or kahit parang iniisip mo, madadagdagan yung pera mo pag nagsugal ka. But to think, no, medyo kung nakikita mo, nagiging addict, yun yung masama eh.
Mm-mm. So, yung pag nasusobrahan, yes. So, syempre, laging may mga napupunta sa mga ganong addiction. At paano nga ba tinutugunan ng pamahalaan itong mga ganitong problema, no? At paano rin kayo makakahingi ng tulong sakaling kayong mapunta sa mga ganitong sitwasyon? So, mamaya may mga updates tayo. At bukod dyan, para naman sa mga kabataan, ito rin, sinasabi natin addiction, mm-mm, pagdating naman sa social media. At alam natin, itong Disyembre, nagpatupad na ng bagong batas ang Australia na pinagbabawalan yung mga batang 16 years old and below sa pag-access ng social media, pero hindi pala lahat ng platform ay sumusunod dito at may mga nakakalusot pa rin.
Ay, nako.
Nako, kaya naman kanilang iimbestigahan itong mga malalaking social media platforms na to para tuluyan na maipatupad itong mga batas at matiyak na may mananagot doon sa mga hindi sumusunod dito sa pinapairal na batas ng Australia. So, lahat po nang yan ating ihahatid sa inyo dito sa ating programa. At maraming salamat, Sheila. Kailan kita muling makakasama dito?
Ay, bukas mga kababayan, mapapakinggan nyo ko kasama si Edidel Magtibay. At marami tayong kwento, mga alamin natin at saka mga news para bukas.
Oo, antabayan na natin ang mga maiinit na balita para sa araw ng Martes. Maraming salamat, Sheila Joy Labrador. At ngayong araw, nako, tuloy-tuloy po tayo sa ating mga kwentuhan. Pero bago yan, ilan munang paalala at awitin ang hatid namin sa inyo. At sa pagpapatuloy ng ating mga usapan, kanina nabanggit na ni Sheila Joy Labrador, no, ilan sa mga ulat na ihahatid ngayong umaga ay ang pagbibigay ng pamahalaan ng aksyon para tuluyang mapigilan ang pinsalang dulot ng pagsusugal. At ngayon nga, naglatag si Prime Minister Anthony Albanese ng malalaking paghihigpit sa gambling ads at tinawag itong pinakamalaking reforma sa kasaysayan. Sa kabila nito, inaalam ng mga tao ngayon kung sapat nga ba ang mga hakbang para mapigilan ang pinsala ng pagsusugal. Narito ang ulat ni Sheila Joy Labrador.
Sa kanyang talumpati sa National Press Club nitong Abril 2, inihayag ni Prime Minister Anthony Albanese na magpapatupad ang kanyang pamahalaan ng mga bagong paghihigpit sa mga advertisement ng sugal o gambling.
Between 6 a.m. and 8:30 p.m., we will cap the number of TV ads for betting agencies at a maximum of 3 per hour. We will ban all gambling ads on radio during school pickup and drop-off. We will ban cross-promotion content that mixes commentary with odds. We'll end advertising on jerseys and jumpers and in stadiums.
Dagdag pa ni Albanese, ipagbabawal din ng kanyang gobyerno ang online gambling ads, maliban na lang kung napatunayang lampas sa 18 years old ang user at may opsyon itong mag-opt out. Sinabi rin niya na haharangin ng Australia ang mga illegal na offshore gaming sites at ipagbabawal ang mga online keno type na produkto na mas kilala bilang pocket pokies. Samantala, patuloy ring mag-i-invest ang federal na gobyerno sa BetStop, ang National Self-Exclusion Register na nagbibigay daan sa mga user na i-block ang lahat ng lisensyadong online at phone wagering providers sa Australia.
We are getting the balance right. Letting adults have a punt if they want to. But making sure that our children don't see betting ads everywhere they look. Because we don't want kids growing up thinking that footy and gambling are inextricably linked.
Noong 2023, inilabas ng Yumaong Labor MP na si Peter Morphy ang isang ulat matapos ang parliamentary inquiry tungkol sa gambling ads. Inirekomenda niya na tuluyang ipagbawal ang lahat ng advertisement ng gambling, kasama pa ang mahigit 30 iba pang mungkahi. Binatikos naman si Anthony Albanese dahil sa pagpapatupad lamang ng bahagyang reforma sa gambling ads sa halip na sundin ang buong plano na iminungkahi sa Murphy Report. Depensa ng punong ministro, ang kanyang anunsyo ay magiging pinakamahalagang reforma na naipatupad pagdating sa gambling advertising.
Well, more ads can't be played. That's the point behind having a restriction. From the average, when we're talking about a couple of years ago, in 2024, for example, were eight. So 3 years is obviously cutting it by more than half. It's about getting that balance right and the nature of it as well.
Ipinapakita ng isang pag-aaral noong 2024 na halos dalawa sa bawat tatlong Australian ang nakapagsugal kahit isang beses noong 2023 at mahigit isa sa pito ang nakaranas ng pinsalang dulot ng pagsusugal. Inaasahang agad na ihahain ng pamahalaan ang panukalang batas at target itong ipatupad simula Enero 1, 2027. Ngunit bago ito maisakatuparan, kakailanganin muna ng gobyerno ang suporta mula sa iba't ibang panig ng politika. Samantala, tinawag naman ng Green Senator na si Sarah Hanson-Young na walang paninindigan si Anthony Albanese sa pagharap sa usapin ng total ban sa gambling advertising.
Not only has the Prime Minister squibbed it on putting in place a real ban on advertising of gambling, but he hasn't even had the guts to take on the gambling industry and put in place the national regulator. That is needed because we know what happens. State governments around the country addicted to the money that comes from the gambling industry, and the gambling industry setting themselves up in the easiest jurisdictions.
Ayon naman kay Liberal Senator Sarah Henderson, matagal nang dapat na ipatupad ang nasabing reforma.
We will be scrutinising the detail of what has been announced today. I certainly have some concerns about the ban on online gambling advertising for children under 18. Given the disaster with the social media ban, we know that's not working.
Ang ulat na ito ay binuo ni Ravin Razik at Wing Kwang na isinalin sa ating wika. Ako si Sheila Joy Labrador para sa SBS Filipino.
Maraming salamat sa ulat na yan, Sheila Joy Labrador. At para sa mga nais humingi ng tulong, maaari kayong tumawag sa National Gambling Helpline na 1-800-858-858. Libre po ito na professional at confidential support, 24 na oras kada araw po, 7 days a week. Pwede nyo ring bisitahin ang Gambling Help Online at makikita ninyo ang ilan pang mga numero at maaaring hingan ng tulong sa inyong mga estado. Muli, ang Gambling Helpline, National Gambling Helpline number ay 1-800-858-858. Sa atin namang pagbabalik, ating alamin ang mga nagaganap na pag-iimbestiga sa iba't ibang mga social media platforms na hindi tumutugon o sumusunod sa bagong ipinapatupad na batas ng Australia. Lahat ng yan makalipas lamang ang ilang awitin at paalala. Bilang bahagi pa rin ng ating mga pangunahing ulat ngayong araw, matapos ibunyag ng E-Safety Commission na iniimbestigahan ito ang ilan sa pinakamalalaking social media platform sa mundo dahil sa umano'y hindi pagsunod sa pagbabawal sa mga wala pang 16 years old, sinasabi ng mga analyst na hindi sapat yon para mabago ang kanilang sistema. At ayon pa sa mga eksperto sa Australia, ang tumitinding pandaigdigang pressure sa mga social media giants ang maaring maging pinakamabisang paraan upang mapilit silang magbago. Narito po ang detalye. Ngayong buwan, nagbanta ang E-Safety Commission na kakasuhan ang mga social media companies dahil sa paglabag sa ban para sa mga under 16. Iniimbestigahan nito ang ilan sa pinakamalalaking platforms dahil sa umano'y hindi pagsunod sa kauna-unahang batas sa mundo, kabilang na ang Instagram at Facebook ng Meta, pati na rin ang YouTube ng Google at Snapchat at TikTok. Ang banta ng legal na aksyon at posibleng multa ay aabot sa milyong-milyong dolyar at malaking pagbabago sa tono ng pamahalaan na noong una ay pinupuri pa ang pakikipagtulungan ng mga tech giants nang ipatupad ang ban noong December 2025. Pero ayon kay Professor Ginny Patterson, co-director ng Center for AI and Digital Ethics sa University of Melbourne, posibleng ang atensyong pangdaigdig sa pagpapatupad ng Australia ng nasabing ban ang nagtulak sa mas mahigpit na hakbang ng gobyerno.
Yeah, this is certainly a moment in time when a number of countries across the world have just lost patience with the claim of social media companies to present some sort of town square for the sharing of views. There's instance after instance of harmful content being shared, and the very design of social media being addictive and causing real mental health and developmental issues in young people. And I think this is a moment in time where we're seeing a response in all sorts of countries, including, and I think we need to come back to it, the US.
Dagdag pa ni Professor Patterson, ang kamakailang kaso sa Estados Unidos kung saan napatunayang may pananagutan ang Meta at Google sa pinsalang dulot ng social media addiction ay nagpapakita na tumitindi ang pressure sa mga tech companies na magbago. Aniya, hindi natutupad ang mga social media companies ang kanilang mga naunang naipangako.
The social media ban requires effectively reasonable efforts to prevent children under the required age from accessing social media. And the government has listed a series of failings on the part of the tech companies, which, as I said, suggest one, their measures aren't effective, but two, they're not learning from the failings and improving the strategies.
Samantala, sinabi ni Dr. Rob Nichols, ang Senior Research Associate sa University of Sydney, na ang kombinasyon ng kaso sa US at ang pagdami ng mga bansang nag-iisip na ipatupad ang pagbabawal sa social media para sa kabataan ay maaring magtulak sa mga platforms na gumawa ng pagbabago upang maiwasan ang mga legal na pananagutan. Aniya, dapat ding pag-isipan ng iba pang bansa ang pagsunod sa yapak ng Australia.
If you like to say and like to boast, we've got the first system in the world and we're world leading, you naturally get some pressure, which is the rest of the world looking to see, should we be following? Are we right to be following in the case of UK and France? I think, though, that the case in the US will have a different impact. So in the US, for the first time, a jury found that the platform and not the content caused addiction, and that addiction caused harm for one person in Los Angeles.
Ayon pa sa ulat ng eSafety, halos one-third ng mga magulang sa Australia ang nagsasabing ang kanilang mga anak na wala pang 16 years old ay may hindi bababa sa isang social media account kahit na ipinatupad na ang ban. Sa mga ito, two-thirds naman ang nagsasabi na hindi lang ang mga tinatanong na platform ang hindi man lang tinanong ng platform ang edad ng mga bata. At sinabi rin ni Dr. Nichols na kung magiging epektibo ang paraan ng Australia at susundan ito ng ibang bansa, malaki ang posibilidad na gumawa ng malawakang pagbabago ang mga social media companies. Aniya, kung hindi ito gagawin, hindi lamang ang mga gumagamit ang maapektuhan.
The risk is two parts. One for the people who become addicted, but also the litigation risk for Meta and Google. Well, let's just eliminate that. And if we can do that in a way that helps in countries which have introduced a social media ban, then we'll do it once and get it right, rather than trying to do it in lots of different versions of Instagram all around the world.
At yan ang ulat mula sa SBS News na isinalin sa ating wika. Para muling mapakinggan ang ulat na yan, bisitahin ang aming website, sbs.com.au/Filipino. Bisitahin din kami sa aming mga social media accounts sa Facebook, SBS Filipino, at ganun din sa Instagram, SBS Filipino. Tandaan, bawal ang under 16 sa mga social media platforms. At sa pagbabalik naman ng ating programa ngayong buwan ng Abril, Filipino Food Month ang sineselebrate na ang mga komunidad ng Pilipino dito sa Australia, kaya't matitikman ang ilang mga masasarap na pagkain at lutuing Pinoy. At tampok natin ang isang Filipino-Italian cafe owner mula sa Melbourne na naghahatid din ng mga lutuing sariling atin. Nagbabalik tayo sa huling bahagi ng ating programa dito pa rin sa SBS Filipino. Ang ating oras dito sa Sydney, 10:44 ng umaga. At kung hindi nyo pa nagagalaw ang inyong mga analog na orasan o sa inyong mga sasakyan, tama po kayo, umatras ng isang oras ang ating mga relo mula kahapon, ano, araw ng Linggo. Ng madaling araw po yan, alas 2 ng umaga. At paalala natin, baka may mga lakad kayo ngayong araw o bukas at naninibago kayo sa oras. Yan, natapos na po ang daylight saving time bilang paalala natin. At ngayon ding Abril, Filipino Food Month ang ating sineselebrate. Ngayon, paano naman kung pagsasamahin ang comfort food ng Pilipinas at mga klasikong lasa ng Italia? Pwede kaya? Para kay Julie Di Pasquale mula sa Melbourne, posible ito. At nako, katakam-takam pa. Kaya bilang isang Filipino-Italian cafe owner, pakinggan ang kanyang kwento sa panayam hatid ni Nikki Gregorio.
Without these things, coffee community and food, I think life would be pretty bland and boring. You know, it all revolves around a plate of some sort.
Pansit, focaccia, ube, at espresso sa iisang kapehan? Mula sa pagmamahal para sa pagkain at inuming Pinoy at Italian, tinayo ng Filipino-Italian-Australian na si Julia Di Pasquale ang Juju Cafe sa Preston, Victoria.
Is your mom from Manila or is she...
She's from Pampanga.
Also, you know, good food.
Yes. Yes, everyone says that when they come in. They're like, oh yeah, she must know what she's doing. Like, yeah, I leave her in there and she's got it.
Yeah. So you said, so you grew up with a loud Filipino-Italian family.
Yeah.
Who love food. So what would be like your earliest memories of maybe cooking in the kitchen or learning about the food of both cultures?
In terms of cooking, it was always just a bit of fart. There was such a big mix. It was never like, okay, fully Filipino, fully Italian. It's always been such a big mix of cultures that in terms of cooking, it was like I'm learning how to do pasta at the same time I'm learning how to do like adobo and stuff like that. It's always just been such a big mix. But from a young age, I'm the youngest of four. So while everyone's going to school, going to work, my mom's like taking me to Preston Market, which you would know. We're buying like bulut and I'm just sitting in front of the TV enjoying myself, which was actually one of my favorite foods growing up. At the moment, I don't think it is. I don't think definitely changed since then. But I wasn't super close with my mum's parents, which I guess, if I was close, I would have learned a bit more about the Filipino culture. But now having the cafe, I'm really grateful. I'm meeting so many Filipino creators. I'm on Instagram and I'm learning so much every day, which is like I want to be teaching other people about the Filipino culture, but at the same time, I'm learning just as much. So I'm really grateful to have access to like social media and bring everyone in here. I'm like learning every day and meeting new people in the Filipino community.
Bilang isang Filipino-Italian na nakatira sa Australia, aminado si Julia na nakaranas din siya ng kalituhan pagdating sa kanyang pagkatao.
It's not something that I really talk about with many people because I don't know too many biracial kids or friends. But I've always felt like when I hang out with my European friends, which is predominantly my crowd, I'm like not Italian. And then when I'm with, let's say, my cousins on like my mom's side and we go to big fiestas and stuff like that, I'm not Filipino enough. And then when I travel to the Philippines, I love it. I feel like there's like a soul connection there. I really do feel like myself when I go back. I stand out like a sore thumb. I'm like 5'8". I'm quite fair. Like, yeah, I don't feel. And then when I go to Italy, it's the exact same thing. They're always like, you're not Italian, are you? And I'm like, I am, but so I do understand where that's coming from. I think even now having the cafe, they're always like, oh, I just see the beautiful, you know, but I've more just come to be proud and speak confidently about my background instead of being like having to overcompensate and be like, No, I am really Italian. Like, I speak, yeah, like, and all this stuff. But it's like, no, well, I'm both. So I can enjoy the best of both as well. I'm really proud of, like, my mom's side, the Filipino side. And I'm really proud of, like, having that Italian side as well. And I speak with confidence.
When it comes to this journey of you becoming a cafe owner, so what was your background coming into this, and what made you decide to come to establish your own cafe?
Yeah. So I've always, I mean, I'm only 22, but from my first job at 15, I was in hospitality. I've always been in hospitality. As much as I say I kind of like don't enjoy it sometimes, I think talking to people every day, working with great people, meeting customers, I think it's like the best job, and it's really what I love. In terms of how I got here in this moment a year ago, we're about to celebrate 1 year. I would say I'm quite impulsive, and I've always, my mom has really encouraged my dreams, my silliness. She's always like, go for it. You have to give it a go. And so this shop that we're in now became available, and I was like, you know what? There is never going to be like a right time. The time is now. We don't know. Tomorrow is a promise. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think while I'm young, I just really like to give it a go.
Kinwestiyon ng iba ang kakayahan ni Julia na magtayo ng negosyo dahil bata pa siya at isa siyang babae.
Definitely have had challenges and still going through it. There's always going to be hurdles. I think being young but also being a female in business, I've learned that it's really hard. I don't think I always hear about like female struggles in the workplace and like female CEOs and all these problems that they face, but I've never really faced it myself until now. From the moment I was setting up, I did it all by myself at the start, and I heard a lot of comments from like people, not trying to point out, but like, like men, they do kind of make you feel small sometimes with little things. It can be something as little as like pricing, but the way that people come to you, it's like, yeah. So I think I'm just learning as I go, really, in terms of how to run a business properly. But I'm really grateful to be able to experience this, and I'm just learning as I go. It's all for me one big learning experience. Yeah, but there have definitely been hurdles, and there's always something about pricing. It'll be like random here, and it's like, well, I think I know, like, the Filipino food and the Italian food that I'm producing, there is worth there. Just because you can't afford it, like, it doesn't mean that it doesn't deserve to have this price. It deserves to be recognized on a global stage just as much as the Italian food. Just because it's new to you, it might seem expensive, but I know that it's worth it and deserves to be recognized equally. And there isn't that much like recognition at the moment.
Actually, it's funny that you said that because I interviewed a chef in ACT. She's a Filipino chef as well. And she said that she said, don't cheapen the branding of Filipino food just because of who we are, of where we came from.
I totally understand that. I don't think a lot of people realize like the produce we're using, the agriculture, like where it comes from, deserves to be given like the right price. I don't think we should cheapen ourselves at all. Even if something seems so simple, there's a lot of labor, there's a lot of love that goes into it, and a lot of history and culture and tradition that deserves to be passed on.
Like, I looked at one of your menus. It was so interesting because you had prosciutto and all of that, and then you had pancit.
I know people are always a bit confused, and then I explain, and I'm just like, this is really just me in a cafe. I'm like, I'm not trying to make this up. It's what I know. I'm always having a bit of both.
No, it's great because I was looking at it. I was like, Italian coffee is kind of known as something sophisticated, as something, you know, something worth the money in a sense. Pancit is this dish in the Philippines that we kind of like, it's street food or it's just normal everyday fare. But introducing these ingredients or these new dishes to mainstream Australia. Have you found it difficult? Or because you said that you try to explain it, but do you find that people are open or do you find that it's a bit difficult to push?
Yes. Okay. This is a good question. I think I'm situated in an area where there are a couple of different normal mainstream your Australian cafes. And so for me, I didn't really think that it was anything weird of what I was selling until I did have to serve and explain myself to customers. And so I think a lot of customers, they come in and they're sussing the vibes, because I'm a new cafe. And they do see that, like, in the shelves, it's like purple, green, yellow, we've got pandan, ube, mango, all these different things that they've never heard of. That's a struggle. I think they walk out and they think, well, her cakes are a bit, I think people think it's like weird and exotic. So they think, well, my coffee's also not, like, they don't really take it seriously. They definitely get that vibe from some crowd. But then there are an amazing sort of people that are all open. Like, I've faced great experience.
With ube in particular, even Starbucks is using ube at the moment,
Yes.
but it's not explained as a Filipino ingredient.
Yeah, which,
What do you think about that?
yeah, I've talked about this with a couple other Filipino customers that have come in. There's another cafe as well at the end of the street that started doing ube recently, and they have no ties to Filipino culture. That's not all. I don't think that's correct. I think if you're going to serve something like this, there should definitely be some explaining, or like, you have to explain where it comes from, its history, its roots, the people that are producing and growing this and bringing it over. Not only for the business is it important, it's important to recognize the farmers and everything happening in the Philippines, because that's not something that's like an Instagrammable item for them. This is part of our culture and our lives. So I don't agree that like Starbucks should be doing that unless they properly recognize and appreciate the culture that it's coming from.
What are your plans or your hopes for your cafe in the next 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, this is a good question. I mean, I'm really happy that we've made it to 1 year. There's been a lot of, I mean, going back to the negative comments, people kind of have been saying we weren't going to last more than 3 months. I've heard this from people around me. So I'm glad just to make it here. But for the future, I'd like to do more collaborations, especially with local Filipino artists or creators or brands. I've recently reached out to a Filipino musician to do a collab on a drink that we can have seasonal in the cafe, just to like, come together and like be proud of our culture and share that with people. It's all about, to me, having that community that you feel safe in, that you can share what you do. And it's like the reason why I come and I want to do what I do. I want to see these people. I want to see my local community. Without these things, coffee community, and food, I think life would be pretty bland and boring. It all revolves around a plate of some sort.
At yan po ang kabuuan ng panayam ni Nikki Gregorio mula sa Melbourne para sa Juju Cafe kasama si Julia Di Pasquale. Maraming maraming salamat, Nikki. At maraming salamat din sa lahat ng sumama sa atin ngayong umaga para mapakinggan ang ating buong programa. 2 minuto bago mag-alas 11. Maraming maraming salamat po sa inyong pagtutok. Magandang umaga, mga kababayan.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment. Sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.